jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 4 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. I'm a bit confused. I thought we were doing the Game of Thrones podcast this week.
Yeah, I know. It's been a big week. I've seen you get excited about it all week on Facebook. And yeah, it was a fantastic way to kick off the week.
Enjoy
the show.
It was very exciting. So many storylines still to come out. My Supercoach weekend was terrible, so I'm more than happy just to talk about episode 1, season 4, if that's what you want to do.
Unfortunately, I think our listeners would turn off, so let's go to our round 3 score mark. 22.96 for me, so that pushed me up to 7K, and I think I've moved up every week so far, so yeah, pretty happy.
That's great for you, mate. 21.91 for me, so just behind the pack again. Couple of decisions really didn't go my way. I'm not sure that I've ever made a trade and lost points as a result of it in that first week, and this time that happened twice in 1 week. So yeah, you suck, team. At least the Bombers won.
I'll just run through the trades that I actually did execute. First, Thomas to Thomas. So that's Dell Thomas to Matt Thomas. Thought I'd cash in on that 100K.
Risky.
Yeah, very risky. But they both scored the same amount, and Matt Thomas went up way more in price. So I just wanted a really fast step ladder to get a head start on upgrading. So ended up going down that route. And the other
and what was the other trade that you made, mate?
Franklin and Zorko. Oh my god, it's so hard not to curse right now.
That's like 84 points in the first week or something.
A side swap, and they're so risky. And in the first week, it's turned out. The absolute worst result, 46 from Zorko, 130 from Franklin. Yeah, not much else to say.
I did Mishi to Thomas, which I'm pretty happy with that as a single trade. Like that, it seemed like it was a good move to get Thomas in. He had 6 free kicks against or something in the game, which is just ridiculous, and still scored 73. Tigers won. He probably would have scored a bit more than that even. So pretty happy with that trade as itself, except... It meant that Dunstan was stuck on my bench and I couldn't loophole with Mishi, which just, that cost me 70-odd points, which was pretty devastating and pretty much explains my pitiful ranking just right there. And I also did Buddy to Zorko. I was going to do Pav to Zorko till the end of the week. Ditched the Budmeister. I don't know. I expected Sydney to start winning and him scoring better, but I thought, he might get injured. He hasn't looked very good. And then he goes out and... player on man of the match looked awesome, and Zorko, like, what are the chances of that happening? Like, I know he had some low scores last year, but he's in such good form that was just so unlikely to happen this year. But then he cops that whack from May really early on in the game, and that shook him up seriously. Stephen May ended up getting off his charge, but he was taken to the tribunal, and after that, Zorko 4 free kicks against. It was sort of hard at the ball, but just a bit loose with his tackles and couldn't hit a target at all. So yeah, 46. Oh my god. Okay, rant over. Let's get to this week, mate. Let's look to the future.
Yep. All right, you're the positive force this show then, Mark. We've taken questions again from Facebook and Twitter, so remember, hit us up after the weekend of footy on Monday and Tuesday to ask us questions on facebook.com/supercoachcoach and at supercoachcoach on Twitter as well. So hit us up on those two forms of social media to ask us questions.
Our good mate Hawker asks, what is the worst Supercoach mistake you have ever made? So, trading Buddy to Zorko, maybe?
That'd be right up there in the top two. The other one would be trading in Mark CB, I think, from a few years back. That was quite a shambles.
Still haven't lived that one down?
I started a chain of, I think, 3 rock trades in a row, so it was terrible.
Last year, I traded Jack Grimes in Sportle, and he scored a 12 and... got injured and was out for most of the rest of the year. That was pretty painful. The reason why he asked this question is because on the weekend he reversed trades and accidentally left Sam Jacobs on the bench without the emergency on him, didn't notice, and had to play Dan Curry.
Oh my gosh.
Only cost him 80-odd points.
Wow, imagine doing Franklin to Zorko and then following it up with that. But Hawker didn't do that, fortunately enough. He passed on Zorko, so at least he had that foresight. Next question here from Stillmatic on Twitter. Thoughts on Griffiths? You shot me down last time, but he's looking the good. So, yeah, I do believe we were asked about him in the preseason, and neither of us were too keen on him, but he's done all right to start the season. How much did he go up? 56K in the first week, really off the back of 122 that he scored on the weekend. And although he has been good, it's really Hampson went down, didn't he?
He did, so they had Stevenson in the ruck, which meant Griffiths probably got more of a run.
Yeah.
Marek is due back soon. I mean, he's highly talented and highly rated. A fairly big injury risk given his past history. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they structure their team up going forward. Is Griffiths in, or is it Hampson that plays longer term with Marek? It'll be quite interesting to see. And good call, Stillmatic. He has had a good start to the season.
Jeff Palmrose on Facebook has asked, are you considering a corrective trade for Laidler, the main man being KK from the Gold Coast, who's now on the bubble after missing round one? We know he's got good scoring potential because he's racked it up as a junior, but he's only managed 54 and 67 in the first two games. Do you expect him to pick that up and be worth the 197K price tag, Mark?
Yeah, he's a tricky one at his price. If he was 150, I think almost everyone would be bringing him in. But given his 200,000 and he's a round 8 buy player, I think that means I'll probably pass. I mean, there's probably some chance that he'll become the sub at some point just because he's young and they want to manage him a little bit. I mean, he's looked really good. He's obviously not up to AFL fitness. He had a great first quarter on the weekend and then sort of drifted out of the game, ended up spending a bit more time up forward, I think. So, look, I think that he's probably a good target to get this week, considering the fact that Laidler was named on the weekend. If Laidler's named again, which he might not be, he might be that 23rd to 25th player on the Swans list, then I wouldn't be trading Laidler if he's named again. I think that KK is a pretty good in, though, and he's someone that I would definitely consider, even for like a Mishy and opening up some DPP.
Next question here, we're moving into the midfield now. Steve from Facebook has asked us.
Swan, new role playing forward. Is it a case of being his last year and Buckley looking to the future? If you have Swan anywhere near your team, you ditch that guy straight away is what I'd be saying. Talk of bad ankles, I know he's had wrist surgery, so maybe he's not 100% right and he's going to end up very, very cheap at one point. And even if he's very, very cheap, given current form, I'm not sure that I'd bring him in, even though we benefited greatly, both of us, Marcus, from bringing him in last year. Honestly, he's just going to keep going down at the moment. So,
on to a question here from James Hawkins on Twitter. Would you recommend downgrading Daisy Thomas to a rookie cash cow this week? So,
You seem to be the expert on that one, Marcus, after getting rid of him last week. So what do you think?
I only really did that because I think Matt Thomas, if he hit the ton, was going to go up 80K in 1 week. So that's pretty much the only reason that I brought him in, because I really wanted Matt Thomas. Having said that, Daisy hasn't really been superb. I mean, he only scored, 82? And people were hoping that maybe after the last half of last week's game that he'd be on an upward trend.
Did anyone from Carlton score higher than that, though? They were not great in the fantasy scoring on Sunday night.
I don't think you have to trade him out, or I wouldn't recommend trading him out necessarily. But if you really, really wanted somebody like Kelly into your team, I could understand maybe doing Thomas to Kelly if you could use the cash efficiently elsewhere on your ground. But, I mean, you'd kind of really need to make good use of the cash pretty quickly, wouldn't you, Mark?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to make a case here to keep Daisy, because I think that, especially if it's Kelly, yeah, I don't think you're getting enough money. Daisy's really good for the buys. He's scoring well enough. They play Melbourne this week. There's a lot of really good reasons to be holding Daisy. So,
but if you think Thomas is maybe only good for a 90 average and Kelly maybe is good for 80, that's 150K you can cash in to start splashing on something else.
Yeah, that's true. But you're also spending a trade.
Yep.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that in that case, Daisy seems like he's going to not go too badly as long as he doesn't get injured or become a sub or something silly. Like, he should get to around that 400,000 mark around the buys, and that's going to be quite a useful player to have in your team, because you can then upgrade fairly cheaply to a premium. So I know cash generation is really important, but they play Melbourne this week, and Daisy in the second halves of the last 2 weeks, he actually has looked pretty good, which is a good sign, I think, because it shows that his fitness is maybe improving a little bit, because in that round one, he just completely died in that second half. So, look, I expect Carlton to be a little bit better this week against Melbourne.
Look, his scoring's not going to get any worse. You've kind of seen the worst from him, I think, which is a good thing. All right, on to the next question here from Robert Bobby Gain. He's asking about trading out Mishy. Who's the best mid-rookie cash cow, Kelly, Buckley, or Crouch? So there are a few people who'd be looking quite intently at this because I think Mishy is out for a month with a broken jaw.
Look, Mishy provided some great points on the weekend for those that could use him for loopholing. So, I mean, you could potentially keep him, but I presume most people would trade this week. If you were going to go Crouch, I think you'd probably want to take one more look at him. I know that's tricky because all the other places are then out of your reach. But given the fact that he was a sub on the weekend, Adelaide have got a lot of injuries. So maybe he is someone that could be quite good and he's so cheap. I think that Buckley was really, really good in game one as an impact player. Struggled a lot in round two, obviously.
But in a loss to Essendon and playing on BJ. I really liked his effort. I thought Ali showed a bit of fight.
Yeah, I don't think you can read too much into what the Carlton players scored on the weekend. Essendon have just been destroying Supercoach scores and fantasy scores and just holding the ball a lot. So it's pretty difficult to score against them at the moment, and especially a second gamer. So, I mean, the fact that everyone's come out this week and said, Carlton need to rebuild, they need to start playing the young kids, that would indicate that Buckley should get a decent run this year, I think. So for $130,000, that's probably a decent acquisition.
I quite like Buckley. I think I'd recommend him over Crouch just because of the buy situation. And yeah, I think his scoring potential looks pretty good. He scored 87, and like you said, Mark, Essendon have just been dominating this year, so... Actually, before last week, I'd thought I'd bring Buckley in. And like I said, okay, he showed a lot of fight playing on Goddard. And I at least saw him in the frame a lot. Like, I know he didn't get the ball a lot, but he was at least in his face putting some pressure on. So
I was at the game and I didn't see many Carlton players in the frame, mate. It was just the Bombers running them around.
You must have been very happy about that game.
Yeah, it's over a quarter time, so there's not so much as adrenaline as has been in the last couple of clashes against Carlton. But, it was nice to get a big win early in the season. And it's kind of nice to put Carlton's coach under pressure from a Bombers supporter's perspective. I think that Kelly has heaps of skill. His ability to rack up points per minute on the ground is really, really strong. It did seem that he played a lot of the game forward last week, which is probably a bit of a worrying concern as far as his scoring capacity goes. It was also against Melbourne, and he kicked two important goals in the last quarter. Now, you can read that both ways. You can say, well, look, he's an impact player. He can get it done when it matters. He can win contested balls. So these are all good things. Or you can say he's not going to play Melbourne every week, and he's not going to kick two goals every week. So I think that Kelly probably interests me a little bit more, and I've considered Kelly more seriously. And I think that Lewis Taylor should be well and truly up there as well. I know he's had one price rise, but because of his dual position status and a few injuries at Brisbane, that he is probably ahead, a little bit ahead of Buckley for me.
The MPP definitely swings it his way. You know, we have McDonald in the back line, Langdon in the back line, maybe swinging one of them into the midfield and bringing in KK, like you mentioned before.
I think that this is really the question of the week. I guess people want us to give some clarity here. I probably have Taylor, Kelly, Buckley, KK. Always depends on your team, how your buy structure is, and what you're going to do with any of the money left over.
Yeah, I think I'd probably go Taylor number one as well, just for the MPP. But then I think I'd probably go with Buckley before Kelly, but both ahead of KK, and then Crouch last. So that's our 2 cents on the issue. Moving on into the forward line now. We've got a question here from Fitzroy Gorilla from Twitter. My good friend the Baron, how about the best premium forwards to target for upgrades in the next few weeks? So I thought this was a good question to do, buddy, because it might be a big year of change-ups in terms of scoring. The old guards might be moving on. We might be seeing a new generation of top-line premium talent.
You mean like Brent Harvey and Nick Rewalt?
Oh, yeah, they're both scoring really well, but, we've got
the top two averages for the forwards.
Yeah, but we've got, will wing guard take their spot this year? People started the year thinking Gunston, Bruce, Parker, Mitchell, they're all contenders. So, you know, there's a bit of argument as to who can actually fit into the top six. So, yeah, just wanted to get your thoughts on premium forwards that you think look like good value either this week or in the next 2 weeks coming up.
I'm a bit disappointed that I didn't take Parker in the end of preseason. I was pretty hot on him. I think that he could definitely be top six. I think Wingard is super impressive, but there's talks of him. I think he came out with an ankle injury from the weekend and sort of played through a fair bit of pain in that game. And that's probably one of the reasons why they didn't get up in the end. He's listed as a test for this week. There was some talk that he might miss a few games. But, I mean, if he's fit, I think he's a fantastic target. So they would be two that I'm considering about. Given my forward line, I've actually only got one spot as long as people don't get injured. So that's Higgins to one of these guys eventually, but it probably won't happen for a while.
Yeah, a lot of people have locked together their forward lines, which is why it's so interesting because, you know, we have like one slot left for like three or four hot contenders.
I did hear that Zorko might get a bit cheaper in the next few weeks, mate.
Still break even of 77, so, and he still at least went up 25k, but hasn't been fun to watch him the first week.
Just to finish that up, I think that given what I've seen so far, we've always said this, but I think it's even more so this year that I would be looking to get as many midfielders into the forward line as possible. Key position forwards like Petrie, for example, seem to be struggling that bit extra this year.
On to the next question here from Neil Kelly on Twitter. Why are Adelaide playing Dangerfield forward? Scores okay, but he's concerned. And we've had a few questions about Dangerfield, Mark. So why don't you appease some nerves? He's averaged 93 to start the season. So off his high price tag, he's already dropped 38K off his value. Where do you think he's going to go from here?
Yeah, and I do know some people that cashed out last week and already traded him. Really, probably the biggest concern is Adelaide's form. Danger scored all right last year and they weren't amazing, but he's the sort of player that's going to win the matches. And in order to win the matches, they need to be in them towards the end, which isn't really happening at the moment. The reason why we picked him in the preseason is still there. It doesn't matter what he's scoring at the moment. It doesn't really matter what happens to his price, except for the fact that he has a round 8 buy and now people that don't have him can get him in. But imagine all serious coaches probably have him. So there's not really many of them that can target him. Started off really slowly last year. I mean, 63, 107, 84, first three rounds last year, which is worse than this year. Then went, had a 120, a 173, and a 147 in the next four games. So yeah, that's why you don't trade him, because his ceiling is massive.
He's under immense pressure, and we already knew that of him, but we picked him because of his ceiling, and that makes it really hard to trade a guy like that out, because if you trade him out and they score big, it absolutely canes. But at the same time, it made it almost impossible not to pick him as well at the start of the season, because imagine if he started with, you know, two 150s, what sort of position you'd be in without him. So yeah, just hold tight, and hopefully another couple of big games are coming around the corner for him. Got a question here from Marcus Lorishi on Twitter. What to do with Caddy, Mark? He's been very disappointing. Do we try and find some cash somewhere and upgrade? So I know certainly a few coaches are looking at a week 4 restructure. Well, week 3 correction trades are obviously the thing to do. But for correction trades to be extending into week 4, Mark, do people trade Josh Caddy out this week? 81, 71, 53, average of 68, and only went up 4.5K.
It's a little bit like poker, mate. There's all these aggressive young kids around that are changing the game by making super aggressive moves. So therefore, trading in round 4 is cool now. and look, it probably is, just because we've seen the previous winners do it. At least one correction throughout round 4s and 5s and stuff. Just fixing mistakes. And once they become obvious that they are a mistake, getting rid of the mistake. I wasn't on Caddy preseason, but I did expect him to average more than 80. And I expected him to average 95 plus in Dream Team and just have a really poor kicking efficiency, but that hasn't eventuated at all. I think he would be a concern for his owners, and I think that, look, he could still come good. I guess the fact that Selwood wasn't there in the preseason, that might have been why Caddy looked so good, and now that Selwood is just completely dominating everything, Caddy doesn't have much room to play his role. I think that he will score better. I don't think that his current scoring rate is indicative of probably his next 3 weeks. That said, if I had some money, I'd be moving him onto a forward premium. The tricky question is, though, would you move him onto someone like Jackson Merritt, who's averaging over 100 and priced about the same?
Yep, and that question came from Big Kev on Twitter. Yeah, it's a good question, Mark. While it's really tempting to go for these sort of guys, the side swaps are very dangerous, as we've just seen this last week. I guess the one thing is Merritt is going up at least. He's got a break even of -8, so if he hits the ton again...
Which he might not do over in Fremantle. Fremantle's going to be a tough game, and I doubt Bombers will dominate the scoring quite as much as they have so far.
Well, even if he scores, I think, 70, he'll still go up about 35K. So it's not as astronomical as me wanting to bring in, let's say, Thomas from last week, who was going to go up 80K. I think it's a little bit harder to do it this week because there's a lot more marginal, because he's already gone up 66K. So you kind of dependent then on him continuing and maintaining this sort of improvement. So, yeah, Jackson Merritt's probably a tough side swap to get to.
Jackson Merritt is a decent guy to have in your team if you started with him. If you really needed some cash and were downgrading to a mid-pricer, he could be someone that you were considering. But I certainly don't expect him to have 35 touches every week. I think he'll be a bit up and down. It is a good year for him because the Bombers have got a lot of alternative options in the midfield and up forward, so he's not really going to get a lot of attention. Because they're playing high possession style across that half forward and wing area, he's going to get a lot of the ball, so it is going to be good for him. But is he going to average over 95 by the end of the year? I would doubt that very much. And as a result of that, I think that really you're trading one mid-pricer to another, and then you're going to have to trade him out later and upgrade him to a premium. And I don't really like that. I like to be earning a lot of money from the mid-pricer that comes in, becoming a premium, restructuring your team, something like that. But if it's just one mid-pricer to another, Caddy could easily equal Merritt from here.
So the upgrade-downgrade, we'd both probably recommend maybe Caddy down to a forward rookie if there's one available.
Because there's so many of them around. But I know that it's not great for the buyers, but maybe for someone like Fasolo.
And so that moves us on to our next and last segment of the show, which is the forward rookies for the week. So we've had quite a few questions on this topic because McDonough and Rowan continue to disappoint. Of course, Rowan was on the show last week after 47 and 37. That was terrible. How could he perform so poorly? And then what does he do, Mark? Gets subbed and goes out and scores 21, the worst score of his first 3 weeks, and actually drops in price $200.
It's insane. And listed as a test on the injury list with a shin injury. God.
And so we're considering what our options are in the forward line. And unfortunately, there's not too much there. I'm going to read out all the options, Mark. There's Ambrose, 102K, who didn't play last week and is a chance of not playing this week as well. J. Kennedy Harris, sub 3 weeks in a row. 24, 26, and 12. Dropped even more than Rowan. Gone down to 113K.
Getting cheaper. That's a good thing.
He's getting cheaper. Zach Merritt from Essendon, who was dropped this week. Is that right, Mark?
I think maybe sent back to the VFL to get some extra game time in his legs. He wasn't dropped on performance.
Brent College, who played for the first time on the weekend.
He scored great during the preseason. If he was actually best 22, it could be a good pick.
Yep.
But I don't think he is.
Lincoln McCarthy, who just lost his spot this week to George Burberry.
Mm-hmm.
Tim O'Brien, who got dropped last week.
There's not much options that you're getting through here, mate.
Michael Close, 3 weeks in a row, hasn't scored above 37.
Doesn't sound that great then.
So I think Lewis Taylor, who we mentioned before, is probably the best then. And I've been doing this according to the cheapest who has played games in the forward line. Yeah, Lewis Taylor, 137, is probably the cheapest decent option. 6 is the main reason he hasn't rocketed up in his price. That was his first game sub-affected. Yep. 64 and 45, he's a small forward. And even though they haven't been getting much opportunities, I've still seen him get the ball, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he does look a bit out of his depth, and I wouldn't be surprised for me to see him be sub again later. But he is dual position. There's not many other options. He's scoring okay. Decent chance he could average 60 if he can string some full games together, because he does get around the ball a fair bit. So, yeah, I think that Taylor is the best choice. I think that Ambrose, the fact that he had another week before his price goes up, a lot of people would be considering him. But where it is that ankle won't get up for this week, I think there's a fair bit of competition for his spot at the Bombers with Winderlich back, Bell Chambers playing VFL this weekend. So how many key forwards or marking forwards are we happy to have in our team? He could play this week, though. Could make the trip to Perth if he's fit, because Chappie might be out and we need another goal kicker. I think that Ambrose is someone that I wouldn't expect to play every week and might get subbed out of a game or something. I mean, his scoring for a lot of the time that he's been out there hasn't been amazing either. So few risks there. Kennedy Harris, play him a full game, please. But you'd think there'd be sub a fair few times again for the rest of the year. Apparently McDonough might come back this week. A lot of the Richmond fans are pretty excited for that to happen. So maybe you won't even need to trade McDonough.
Impey is the only other player, apart from those that we already talked about, who is cheaper than McDonough and Rowan. And he's already gone up 30K at 150. Is he worth considering?
No, not at that price. His scoring is just not good enough. So then maybe get another look at Fasolo if you've got cash. Like, Rowan to Fasolo is not going to cost you a lot. It causes buyer problems, but
72 in his first week back.
That's pretty good, especially for a cheap forward, because they're crap. One player I think that you should be keeping an eye out for, and that is Patrick Cripps. Apparently had 34 touches on the weekend in the VFL, and a lot of Carlton fans are saying you just have to play this guy this week. So I would expect him to play, and that means that you get another 2 weeks before you have to bring him in. He's an expensive rookie, but like if you've got like a Matt Thomas and you're not going up with him, he might be someone that you keep your eye out for.
Last question before we just wrap this whole show up, Mark. I just want to ask you about Drew Petrie. He's in my draft team, so he's brought me a lot of hurt, but 20-77 and 13 on his first 3 games.
I just stop you there? Sorry, draft team. Did you have a draft week game on the weekend? How did you go in that?
Why did I bring this up?
I had totally forgotten about it. That's fantastic that you did. We did have the rivalry of the podcast hosts on the weekend in draft, and
you won.
300-point difference. An absolute spanking.
Yeah, you killed me. Rich, ACL for the season. God damn it. Petrie, 13. God damn it. Cremery on the bench. God damn. Yeah, you completely thumped me. But for the real stuff, which I'm doing pretty okay at, how do you think Drew Petrie will go? We know him to be an inconsistent scorer, but super high scoring potential when he has the big games. If he drops, and he's going to continue to drop, I think break even of 184, already dropped 100K, will probably drop another 60. Is he maybe somebody that we can just bring in to maybe use either as a step ladder or as a F7 maybe, with some MPP, so you can use him as a substitute for your midfield and there's a forward line? Is he an option for that? We had a question on Twitter from someone about that.
Yeah, good question. I think the problem is that he's actually performed so poorly so early that it might be difficult to bring him in because he's a round 8 buy player. But look, do I expect Drew Petrie to bounce back? Yes, he's had low scoring games before, but to have 3 in a row and to be that bad is just insane. Like, his lowest score last year was 31, so he does have the low scores in him. Considering how cheap he might get and how well he has averaged in the past, he's averaged 90-ish several seasons in a row and averaged 102 last year, because he can produce some decent-sized games. Yeah, I think that he probably is someone that you should be considering, and I do expect him to come good. So just put him on your watch list. You'd hope to see something from him before you actually brought him in.
I think some people are thinking, you know, maybe if you can structure up to sideswap Higgins for Petrie, maybe even in a couple of weeks, that'd be quite nice.
That'd be if he can drag it out till around the buys, then yeah, maybe. And if you can pick him up, he might get down to the low 300s, but if you can pick him up for under 400, then you're probably doing really well.
All right, so that wraps up this week's show. It's surprising to think just how much we have to talk about in Supercoach nowadays, but everybody's got
so many trades.
Everybody's got an aggressive trading strategy. So yeah, it seems like last year that was just the right thing to do, and it's carried on into a trend this year. So trade hard, everyone, but don't be foolish, and we'll see trade you hard, again.
But don't be foolish, yep. Bit of contradictory advice there. Hopefully, this is my week to bounce back. I thought it was going to happen round 2. Thought it was going to happen round 3. Maybe it's more like round 4. It's got to happen eventually.
Before we go, though, shout out to Super Coach Aces, our Veterans League, of course, representing the site very nicely as always. Absolutely shot up the rankings this week.
Number 2.
2,329 was the average in our league for the round, which was...
And didn't I bring that down?
The second highest in the top 20. So yeah, sitting very nicely at second now, and hopefully we continue to make a tilt. We haven't taken out the number one spot in a while. It would be good if this year we could.
That's exactly right, man. It's good to have a good start to the year. It gets everyone up and about in the Supercoach Coach community. Thanks heaps for your support on Twitter and Facebook, and engaging in discussion with us, guys. We hope that we were able to help you out with this week's podcast, and best luck for the weekend.
See ya.